You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. If you don't already know, Yankee summer camp is officially underway, and let's just say it didn't get off to the hot start that we were hoping. We're going to break down the injury update to Masahiro Tanaka, also discuss the two Yankee players who tested positive for COVID-19, also break down how the virus is impacting the game as a whole, and we'll take a look into a little bit of Yankees camp as they are underway, as I mentioned a couple of seconds ago. Now, as always, we aim to interact with you guys on social media. Find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast available on all podcasting platforms for you. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcast. Every comment, every like is appreciated. Please go out and do that if you haven't done so already. Our show is also available on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our show is there available for you. As you're doing that, check us out on Instagram at Delahanty Media. You can find all the latest updates regarding our shows, both this show and the Let's Debate podcast, and also find us on Facebook for the Let's Debate podcast, which airs every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Myself and my cousin Kyle Delahanty talk about all the latest updates in the world of sports. So you definitely should check that out as you're listening to our content here. This is going to be the first of two episodes this week. We have another week of two episodes. As you already know, the Major League Baseball schedule will be announced on Monday evening, and we are going to break down that schedule in whole for you. That'll be on our next episode. But today we're going to focus on some of the early news and notes out of Yankee summer camp. Let's start off with the scary news out of Yankees camp, and that was the injury to Masahiro Tanaka. On Saturday afternoon, the Yankees were holding their first, I would say, full squad practice, and Tanaka was pitching live BP and took a line drive, which James Paxton stated was 112 miles per hour off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton, right off the head. A very, and I mean very, scary moment. Tanaka was helped off the field, was sent to the hospital, underwent a CT scan. It was found that it was a mild concussion. So a big break for Tanaka. The next day, which was Sunday afternoon, Tanaka was at the stadium, seemed to be in good spirits, according to some of his Yankee teammates. So luckily, he dodged a bullet in terms of a worse injury. It could have gotten a lot worse, especially off the bat of somebody like Stanton, a big, massive human being, hits the ball very hard. But you just have to think, you know, it's more than the game itself. When that moment happened, I remember seeing it. I just couldn't imagine what had just transpired. You know, that's the scary part about sports. You can never predict injuries. And on the first day of team training camp or summer camp, that's definitely not what you want to happen. And to see a guy who's as vital as Tanaka is go down is just very scary. And it's a freak accident. Obviously, nobody intended that to happen. But it did happen, and luckily, he's okay and seems to be all right after suffering that injury. Now, we don't know the timetable on Tanaka, if this is going to sideline him for an extended period of time. We don't know how it's going to impact him as a whole on the field. All we know is that he's okay off the field. The mild concussion is a tough thing to deal with. He'll go into concussion protocol. But this will probably set him back, and if you're thinking about it, he'll probably not be ready for opening day if this holds him out. And as a Yankee fan, obviously you want to see Tanaka on the mound. We've all grown to love him and appreciate what he's done for the Yankees. But you understand that it's more than a game at this point, and Tanaka's health is definitely more important. He'll be back at some point. You just have to hope that the injury doesn't linger. Because let's remember, Clint Frazier was diagnosed with a mild concussion, and it really had a kind of impact on him for a while. So you have to look at it. You hope for the best, but you don't know what to expect at this point. You just got to wait for more updates to come along. And let's not forget, I feel really bad for Giancarlo Stanton. And you saw the human instinct from him out of the box right when he hit the ball and it hit Tanaka in the head. You see the human reaction, how devastated he was that he hurt his teammate or potentially hurt his teammate. And you just see him upset. And Stanton's one of those guys that he saw from both sides of the spectrum, too. So I think it hits a little harder for him, too. Because let's remember, when he was with the Marlins, he was hit in the face with a fastball. So, and that was really damaging to him, mentally, physically. So to see it on the opposite side of it had to be tough for Stanton. And I hope that he's okay as well. Mentally, that's something that you don't want to see, especially your teammate. That's kind of friendly fire there. So both sides, you could see the stress and anxiety from the situation. And luckily, Tanaka seems to be okay. And I can't say that enough. You know, luckily, it wasn't worse, because a ball off the head that hard could have left a lot more damage. So he should be thanking his lucky stars, and we should be thanking our lucky stars that he's okay, because obviously we care about him more than just on the field as well. He's been nothing but good since he arrived in New York. Hopefully he's here for a long time, because I do enjoy watching him pitch. He's in the final year of his contract now, but just a scary situation, and that's something you don't want to see on the first day of summer camp, especially given you got all these guys that are looking healthy and in shape, and you see the pictures of Stanton and Torres and Judge and the pitchers. See Cole, Tanaka, Paxton. These guys look ready to go, and then something like that happens. It's just very scary and jaw-dropping, to say the least. Credit to Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres on the situation. Here's why. If you follow them on social media, a little while after it happened, Judge and Torres took to Twitter to say, look, we understand that some of you have jobs to do and you have to report the news, but please do not record and please do not show the video. It's graphic enough. It's scary enough. And their teammate was hurt. So they kindly asked everybody to please refrain from sharing the video, trying to get, as you want to say, social media clout from it, because it was scary. And, you know, as teammates, you don't want to see your teammate not only hurt, but see these media people hovering over him just for a story. So I give them credit for stepping up in that situation. And it just shows how much they care about these guys as teammates, as brothers, as family, as friends. You see more of a chemistry and more of a connection with this group. And it's nice to see. So I definitely credit Judge and Torres for stepping up, taking that leadership role. And you could just tell that they've learned a thing or two from CC Sabathia, Brett Gardner, the veterans that they've been around. Because to me, that was a very strong statement from both of them. And I think that it got heard, especially from Yankees Twitter. I think that once that happened, you didn't see a lot of people sharing the post. So it got the job done. Obviously, the news media is going to show it. They don't really pay attention to that type of thing. They have to put out the news. But I'm glad they did stand up for it. I'm glad that they said something. Obviously, I wanted to see the video and I saw it and I wish I didn't. But again, it's something that it happened. It was recorded. People saw it. People saw how scary it was. But after that, the guys were like, all right, let's move on. Let's not take the attention on our teammate who's laying there on the mound hurt. Please refrain from showing this video. And I give them kudos for that. I really, truly do. And to make matters worse, not only did Tanaka go down, and that was scary in itself, but the Yankees announced that two of their players tested positive for COVID-19. And those players are DJ LeMahieu and Luis Sessa. Now, apparently, according to the report, LeMahieu's asymptomatic, which means he's not showing any symptoms of it. But again, it's a thing that you may not show symptoms right away, but they can come on at any time. And Luis Sessa did have symptoms and isn't really feeling well. So you do wish well for both players and you hope that they're okay. But it just goes to show you the scary type of feel that this virus brings about. You know, it's real. I think that a lot of people don't understand the seriousness of the virus. And when you see guys like LeMahieu and Sessa and athletes you look up to and watch on a daily basis get it, not only do you feel for them and their families and you send your best wishes, but it makes it more realistic. It's kind of like when a family member gets it, or a friend or somebody you know. It makes it more real. And it's something that's happening around the game. Obviously, when they started up summer camp, we knew that guys were going to test positive. The way that the world is, you're not going to go in a situation where you have 60 guys and nobody's going to test positive. There's no realistic approach to that. And you see some of the biggest stars in the game getting impacted. Freddie Freeman tested positive. They say that he's struggling with the virus. He's very ill from it. We send our best to him. Joey Gallo tested positive. And these are guys that are all-star caliber players. LeMay, who's an all-star caliber player. Cess has been around. Like, these are guys that people know. And the reality of the whole situation is this. It is a risky, and I mean risky, situation for these guys to be on the field. This is nowhere near finished. You see numbers peaking in certain areas because people are trying to go back to real life and normal life. But the sad thing is, they're not thinking about the long-term prospects of this. This virus is not going away because of the way that people are acting around the world. You mean to tell me that people, and I'm from New Jersey, you guys know that. I say it every show. I'm proud of where I'm from. But you mean to tell me that these bars have people on top of people and there's nobody spreading the virus there? Or these beaches? Yeah, I love going down to the shore. I love it. But these people sitting on top of each other on a beach, who knows where people have been? Who knows what people are carrying? I just feel like we're dropping the ball as a nation to a point where we were getting better. And the New Jersey, New York area was getting better. But I feel like we're going to see an increase in the number of cases because people are trying to go back to normal life and it's not ready. The world is simply not ready. You hear these colleges saying that they're going to be running remote learning in the fall, possibly even into the spring. As a high school teacher, I don't even know when I'm going to step foot back in the classroom if we're going to do remote learning or not. Obviously, I love going to work every day. I love being with my students. I miss seeing them on a daily basis. I miss my athletes that I coach. But in reality, it's a risk. Until this virus calms down and we start taking a hold of it, there's going to be more and more problems. So my suggestion is this. If you want to see the Yankees play baseball this year, if you want to see your favorite team for any given sport play this year, if you want to get back to normal life, if you want to have a situation where you can go back to a grocery store and normally shop without having to social distance and whatnot, there are a few things you have to do. Number one, you have to follow the guidelines. Wear a mask. I don't understand why people are so afraid to wear a mask. Listen, there's people out there that wear Mets jerseys and won't wear a mask. Come on. I'm sorry I threw the Mets in there. I could say Red Sox too. I wouldn't wear a Red Sox jersey, but I would wear a mask. It's just a situation where we need to hamper back down. Social distance. If you don't have to go out, don't be susceptible. There's people around you. You don't know where they've been. And I don't want to get into the whole life situation here. I'm here to talk about the Yankees. But I do want to see the Yankees play this year. And I see how it's impacting the sport. I see how these guys are testing positive. And we need to make a stance. We need to figure something out because the way it's going, we might not get a full year of baseball. And we're already getting only 60 games, so it's kind of a ripoff. But we need to work together to find a cure and to figure out how we're going to slow this thing down. You hear these players, and I feel for them. I truly do. That they're uncomfortable in their surroundings, that certain teams are not handling this the way that they thought they would be handled. Credit DeGrom for coming out and saying, you know, the Mets are taking care of us. They're doing a great job, and I give kudos to the Mets too. That's a great thing that you can make your players feel safe. But you hear guys like Chris Bryant, the game's best player, and Mike Trout saying they're not comfortable in their surroundings because of what's going on. Let me tell you, people are ripping Trout. And I understand where they're coming from. As the best player in the game, you want to see him play. Obviously, he's in the middle of his prime. Who wouldn't? But if my wife was due with my first child, I don't think I would play. to be quite honest with you, number one, I'd want to be there for the birth of my child. Family always comes first. And second, say he contacts the virus and gives it to his wife and something happens to his family. Or you spread the virus. That's scary to think about. And if you're not comfortable in your surrounding and you don't think that you're in a safe position, I would opt out too. So the guys who have opted out, Ryan Zimmerman, Felix Hernandez, Nick Markakis, guys who have been around the league a very long time and are near the end of their careers, if you look at it age-wise, it's just a situation where if I wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't be playing either. So I see it from both sides of the spectrum. You're going to have your guys that are going to be out there, and they're going to take every precaution necessary to play, that they're going to want to play, whether it's money reasons, whether it's the love of the game, whether it's both, whether it's family wanting them to play. Look at Gerrit Cole. He announced the birth of his child, and his wife is encouraging him to play. Obviously, it's a different situation for Cole, given that it's his first year in New York. But it's just a weird situation that we've never had to deal with. And I think that guys are in that predicament where they don't want to risk exposure and they don't want to risk exposing their families because there's a lot on the line. As much as we don't want to think about it, this virus can kill people. It has killed people. So if you come in contact with it or a teammate comes in contact with it, that's life-changing. That's life-altering. We need a cure. Obviously, doctors are working on it. I wish I could snap my fingers and come up with a cure. But we can't. And for the time being, we have to do everything in our power to help stop spreading the virus. So I encourage you, wear a mask, go out, social distance, avoid having parties, big parties with people. I know it's summer. I know everybody wants to hang out and party, but let's just calm it down a little bit. Take a step back. Let's let this thing sink in. The same people who are complaining about not being able to have regular life are the ones that are going to beaches and are going to bars and are having parties of over 50 people in a backyard that's cramped. Don't be that person. Be better. And as somebody who wants to watch the Yankees this year, I beg you, truly beg you, help us cure this disease or virus and help us somewhat get back to normal life. Because I won't be a happy camper if somehow, some way, baseball doesn't get played this year. And I know there's a risk, and I appreciate the guys and people around the game who are going out of their way to be at harm's way. Every time those guys report to the field, they're at harm's way. And I'm sorry to tell you, but they are. So I give them credit. I wish them the best. Obviously, in terms of the Yankee standpoint, I wish the best for DJ LeMahieu and Luis Sessa. I don't even want to think about baseball terms for them right now. I just hope that they're okay and can get back as soon as possible. LeMahieu, we all know how good he's been for the Yankees since he came over. And Sessa's been a valuable piece out of the bullpen. I wish those guys the best of health moving forward. And I hope to see them at Yankee Stadium really soon because I think both guys are going to be important to the Yankees in 2020 if they could get healthy. Now, I know we've been talking about Yankee summer camp and whatnot. But I kind of want to shift gears to end today's show. And this is something that came out on Monday on Twitter. And it just sent me a little bit. I have to be honest with you. Andrew McCutchen, who we all know had a stint with the Yankees, ripped the Yankees hair policy and facial hair policy, saying that it needed to be addressed. Now, let's remember, he had to shave his beard, obviously. And what McCutchen's saying is it takes away from our individualism as players and people. Now, the policy, as you all know, prohibits facial hair beyond the lip and prohibits long hair. This is a rule that's been in place since 1973. The late George Steinbrenner put it into play. And I understand where our nation is coming from with changing things. There's been a lot of things that have been changed and a lot of things have been discussed to be changed. You look at the Washington Redskins' name. You look at the Cleveland Indians' name. The nation is trying their best to change things to make it accommodating to everybody. And I understand that and totally respect that. I get it. But this is a rule that I think, first of all, McCutchen's ridiculous for even saying that it should be changed, first and foremost. Second of all, it's a rule that's been in place for a very, very long time. And I get it. If you're traded to the New York Yankees, you don't have the choice. It's the team rule. That's a rule you need to follow. You don't have an option. But as a free agent type of player, you can pick if you want to play for the Yankees or not. You can say, you know, I don't like that rule. I want to play elsewhere. And I just think that the rule should stay in place, because why would it be taken out of the Yankees rule book if you go in the common world at a job and you might be asked to be clean shaven? Like, seriously? I was amazed, simply amazed at this, because I think these players forget that if you go into real world situations, like a typical business person or heck, myself, you are in situations where your boss could tell you, you're not presentable. I want you to shave. I want you to cut your hair. And it's not racism. It has nothing to do with that. It is a rule that is across the board from the ownership down. And it's a rule that's been accustomed to the organization. And I like it. Along with the known names on the jerseys, I think it's the two things that really stand out for the New York Yankees. Because number one, it shows professionalism. I don't need to have somebody with a full-grown beard on the mound. Show your personality by how you act. Show your professionalism by how you follow the team rules. I get it. He might not like the rule. He's always had a beard. I totally and understandably get that. But in the same token, this is a rule that if it was for certain players, I'd be like, all right, let's change this rule. But this has been for years and years and years. And people have had problems with it, obviously. And I'm sure that there will be people that have problems with it down the road. But to say that it needs to be taken out, I think it's just a bad take. And I don't personally agree with it. I like the rule. I think it helps the team stand out. I think it helps the organization stand out. Because you know when you're playing the New York Yankees, those guys are going to look professional. They're going to look sharp. They're going to look at their best. I will never forget it. In high school, if we showed up to school, and I went to a private Catholic school, if we showed up to school with facial hair, we were told to shave. Why? That was the school standard. Was it certain people? Obviously, because certain people don't grow facial hair. I personally never really had that problem in high school. I had trouble growing facial hair. I wish I could. I wish I could be told to shave because, you know, I always wanted facial hair, but I didn't grow facial hair until I was older, so it wasn't an issue for me. But it was a rule that everybody understood. We all agreed to it. And that's just part of life. In the job world, if my boss told me today, I don't like the facial hair you're growing, I need you to shave, you rest assured I'm shaving. Why? Because that's what my boss wants. And that's what I need to do to keep my job. If they don't like what I'm doing, if I don't perform the way I'm supposed to be performing, I could be let go. So to say that that rule has to be taken out of the Yankees rule book, I think it's absurd. I hope that they don't change it. I doubt they're going to change it, but I hope that they don't. I like the way the players are clean-shaven. And you're going to have those guys that have issues with it. I think there are bigger things for Andrew McCutchen to fry at this point. He's past the organization. It's not like he's with them anymore. If you don't like it, don't sign with them. We've seen players not sign with them. David Price is one of them that was rumored. He would have been a Yankee if he could keep his facial hair. You don't want to play for the Yankees, so be it. Best franchise in baseball. If you don't want to play for them because of a facial hair rule, then I'm sorry. No need for you here in the Bronx. And that's just my take on it. And no nothing in terms of social injustice or racism. It's a rule that's been across the board from ownership to the very bottom of the minor leagues for years now. And the late George Steinbrenner put that rule in, and I see that rule being implemented and continue to be implemented for a very long time in New York for the Yankees. It stands out. It's classy. It's professional. And that's what the New York Yankees are. That's what their organization represents. And that's why I think it's so important to keep it. I would not change it for a single thing. Now, to give you a little bit of an update as we wrap up today's show, we're going to put out another show this week talking about the schedule. Send us your thoughts on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, at @Nick_Delahanty is my personal account. Also on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Yankees are going to have a tough schedule. We'll break it down. We'll look at it in total. We'll kind of break down some of the top series that they're going to play, some of the top teams they're going to match up with, and we'll take a look at how they might just fare in the 2020 season, looking toward hopefully a postseason run to end the year. Now, as always, find us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. It's simple. Our show is on every podcasting platform. Make sure you check them all out. Give us some love on any podcasting site that you listen. Subscribe to the show. Rate it. Review it. Anything that you could possibly do definitely helps our show. You want to help support our show even more? Go to our Teespring account. We have some really nice gear for you. I've been rocking it all the time. Delahanty Media gear, Pinstripe Talk podcast gear, Let's Debate podcast gear, you name it, it's there available for you. Check that out. We would love to help to get you to help us support our show. All proceeds that we make do help in terms of equipment and getting quality shows on the air for you. Delahanty Media is expanding by the day. Make sure you jump on board right now. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We're very happy we have some things to talk about in terms of Yankees baseball. Obviously, we want some more positive news, unlike what we talked about today. But hopefully, there's a lot of positive news for the Yankees moving forward. Once again, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, let's go Yankees. One step closer to opening day. We can't wait to get there. Remember, wear your mask, stay safe, and make sure you continue to look out for our next show. It'll be coming rather soon. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.